Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches, the game show devoted to truly terrible television. I'm your host, Ned Airbar, and have we got a show for you. This episode, it's all about family, the cornerstone of American television. From The Cosby Show to Seventh Heaven, TV has always specialized in focusing on the family. So we want to see what other family-related shows our pitchers can come up with. Our four contestants will pitch their absolute worst family-themed show ideas. Then our network executive judges will give them some notes. One pitcher will be eliminated and then become a judge for the rest of the show because the TV industry is all about failing upward. In round two, we'll spring a surprise game on the pitchers. Then after another elimination slash promotion, the remaining two pitchers will face off in our lightning round. The winner of this episode of Bad Pitches goes home with this Polaroid of my estranged uncle. Pitching this episode are...
Paga Yazd, owner of a family of Sims.
Matt Nadasta, my family's half Jewish and half Christian, so I'm kind of stuck between two worlds.
Rod Bastenmare, and my family killed me 2 years ago.
Hello, I'm Julia Young. I have both a brother and a sister.
Our network executive judges are, as always, Kotlo McGlynn and our special guest, Matt Lee. Judges, what are we looking for from these family-themed pitches today?
You know, I think it's important for the pitchers to consider the fact that there are many types of families. And a family relationship can be between, you know, brothers or parents and kids or, you know, maybe, you know, a woman and an alien that she found or maybe a cat. Any other ideas, Matt?
The closest thing that I've had to a family is one time I was at Disneyland. I was 28 and I followed a family the entire time that they were having their vacation. And I sat with them or near them when they ate dinner. I waited in line near them for rides. So it was like, you know, it was fine. It was nice to be part of a family for a day. You know, I miss them.
Okay, we're going to go right,
yeah.
Right into round one. Pega, why don't you kick us off?
Yes, definitely. Hello. Hello. Hello, everyone. So have you guys heard of this show? It's a British TV show called The Sex Box. And it's a show where couples go into a box that's on the stage. It's a live game show. And they have sex in the box on stage. Just to give you a little background. So my show is like a cross between that show and The Dating Game. Except the twist is the contestant is always a man. And the person he selects is always his daughter. This show is called Always Your Daughter. And it's always the daughter behind the curtain. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Judges?
So just let me get this straight. This is a dating show?
It's a dating show.
Okay.
It's a, yeah.
And the idea is that we're going to trick a man into dating his daughter?
Not dating. Going inside the box on stage and having sex with a quote unquote mystery woman who is his daughter.
Wow. Do you see any potential lawsuits that could result from this?
I don't necessarily understand how lawsuits work, perhaps, but I also just like don't think that that would happen.
Oh, okay. Then that's probably fine. Matt?
I remember hearing about lawsuits. David was talking about them. David was the dad of the family. When I was in the car in the trunk as they were driving home that night listening to them, he was talking about being in a lawsuit. And it sounds scary.
Yeah, it
so
is scary.
I think we should avoid those as much as possible.
It's one of those things that you hear about a lot, but doesn't actually happen that much.
Are we worried that the title is a little bit of a giveaway?
I thought about that. That's totally a fair question, but I do think that I don't think that people will really care.
Any questions from our fellow pitchers?
Just one question. How dare you?
How dare I what exactly?
Have you read a book called The Bible?
I've had friends growing up who watched VeggieTales, so yes.
How dare you?
All right, well, I feel like we've heard enough. I'm pretty much haunted by this pitch, and I feel like I don't know if that's
a good thing
or a bad thing, but it's in there forever.
All right, moving right along. Matt, let's hear what you got.
In 2018, the revival of Roseanne was a ratings bonanza for ABC, scoring an unbelievable 18 million viewers. But that all ended when the star-slash-creator-slash-visionary Roseanne Barr was unceremoniously fired after a harmless tweet was misinterpreted. I mean, who even remembers what that tweet was about? No one, so there's no point discussing it. Meanwhile, ABC's pathetic attempt to keep the franchise going with the Conners is a dismal failure, only garnering 10 million viewers. It's clear what America wants, and we're going to give it to them with my show, Just Roseanne. In this fresh spinoff, Roseanne Conner is single and free after her whole family dies in a series of unrelated opioid overdoses. But that won't get her down because she's got a new calling and a new family working for the White House's top secret Bureau of Conspiracy Hunters. Relatable comedy meets nail-biting action as Roseanne finally gets to the bottom of Pizzagate, all while dodging the bumbling yet sinister machinations of the evil George Soros. In addition to Barr, the main cast includes Tim Allen, John Voight, and Kid Rock. Thank you.
Wow.
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 I mean,
I have not seen a roster like this since, I can't even.
Since a guest list for a barbecue at Kid Rock's house.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was a very long day. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's still that interest for Roseanne, even though she has been, quote unquote, canceled. And literally canceled as well.
Everything canceled is new again. Everyone's heard that.
That's the motto for 2020, if I've ever heard one. Just to get real serious for a second, I think this would do wonders to highlight the ongoing opioid epidemic in this country. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? If we're not making TV to solve global crises, like, what are we even doing, you know?
Yeah, I actually agree. It's very responsible and brave of me.
Anything else from you, Matt?
Do you think we can get some big pharma companies to sponsor the show?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah.
I think they would be really interested in this.
All of them, I think, would be very interested. They're all very involved with Roseanne already.
No further questions.
Any questions from our fellow pitchers?
First, a comment. I would love to see James Woods.
Oh, James Woods, obviously.
Don't interrupt me. And I would also say, my question is, will Steve Bannon make any appearances as like a quirky neighbor whose skin is falling off? Thank you.
I obviously think Steve Bannon would be amazing to get involved. I know that even if he's not in the show, he'll somehow end up profiting from the syndication, but I definitely want to get him there.
I'm afraid that the title, what did you say the title was? Just Roseanne? I'm afraid the title might be a little bit confusing, considering, I guess, we're having like Steve Bannon and like all these people who aren't Roseanne on the show.
Yeah, major stars.
Right. So can you help me think of like some alternatives to just Roseanne?
Maybe yeah, sure. Like maybe like only Roseanne. Roseanne solo.
Yeah, but again, there's like still other people on the show.
What about just Rose?
All right, great.
Thank you, Matt. We're going to move right along with round one with Rod.
Thank you, judges. We are living in such an exciting time where representation finally seems to matter. My pitch is for a hot new show called Flyover Love, a provocative new dating competition where basically every contestant is inbred. Every episode will feature a host of challenges meant to sift through the menu to find the one. And the gag? Most of them are related. I know what you're thinking. A cast of inbreds? How is this different from The Bachelorette? Well, that actually is appropriation. Flyover Love will be notable for being one of the first mainstream depictions of real hot inbred people. The show will feature challenges as varied as bungee jumping, mud wrestling, competitive corncob eating. We will also be planting a number of actors in the cast that will be pretending to be inbred, vying for the affection of the suitor's love, including Eddie Redmayne, who for some reason nobody recognizes. The show will also be cost-effective because in the episode where the contestants take the bachelor back to their family home, there's a really good chance that they'll all be heading back to the same house, so it'll cut costs. This is Flyover Love. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Rod. Katla, what do we think of this?
I mean, I guess I was anticipating there would be some incest content in these pitches, but goddamn. What are you thinking for the casting of the inbred contestants?
I think it's going to be a very public, very literal national search. Signs that say, are you inbred? Call this number. With the ABC logo sort of like...
Anything people will respond to that.
Yeah, I think people for sure will. I think it'll be more about like making sure that people aren't lying. You know,
right,
people are
right,
so desperate
right.
to be recognized as inbred in this culture.
And that was going to be my next question, yeah. Which is how are we fact-checking this?
I think we're going to just really have to trust our internal compass and just, you know, let our instincts guide us and trust that when you see someone inbred, you know.
Got it. Matt?
I'm really excited for this national search for America's best inbred citizens. I think that part of the show should be the audition section.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see as being the judges who say, you're going to a square stay at the end?
Definitely. Well, for sure, Eddie Redmayne, who is attached and who will go bafflingly unrecognized by most of the country.
Is he the mean one?
He's the confused one and okay. the desperate one. And then we can have one of the Shark Tank sharks, the one who has the Bed Bath & Beyond like section. She could be the Simon. And then just like a upside down mop with two googly eyes for the middle.
Questions from our other pitchers?
I just once again wanted to express my deep Christian outrage at this idea. The Bible clearly states in words 12:12 that thou shalt not lie with thy kin in the bed of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the bed of the Lord must be, it's still the quote, thus the Lord said. So
that's, yeah.
I really hope that we don't hear anything else about incest tonight, or else I'm really going to flip out.
Yeah, I have a really strong feeling that we won't, and it would be really crazy if we did, and really signal a change in the national conversation, I think.
Thank you, Rod.
Thank you.
Keeping that in mind, we're going to move on to the final pitch of round one. Julia, what do you got?
Okay, so first off, I want to say that everyone here should be humiliated for what they have done to me by making me humiliated, and I feel attacked, and that's how I want to go into this. Hello, good morning. Family. Also, I just want to say that any references that I make, that other pitchers have made, it is entirely not my fault, and everyone loves The Bachelor. The hit show where one single man dates many women, eliminating one every week until he gives his final rose to one lucky woman who will become his wife. But what is that show missing? What is America missing? That's right. Family. From producers Ryan Seacrest and Derek and Julianne Hough come a new reality show with a familiar and familial twist. Introducing Cuz Huds, working title. The reality dating show where one bachelor chooses from a pool of eligible young women, but they're all his cousins. We're talking everything. First cousin, second cousins, cousins once removed, cousins twice removed, but you won't want to remove yourself from your television because this show is addictive. Which cousin will our bachelor choose? Watch all the drama of a hometown visit unfold. Spoiler. Same town. And the family tree makes for some family tea when the final three contestants meet our bachelor's parents, but not for the first time because, again, they're cousins and have met at previous family engagements. So keep it on ABC and keep it in the family this fall with Cuz Huz. And I will say alternate titles we are exploring are 23andHe. Related dated kissing cousins and ancestry.com. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Julia. Judges, what do we think of this original pitch?
So in this show, our contestants are aware.
Yes,
that
of course.
It's their cousin. So how do we start? How do we stop them from not going through with the show once they get there and realize the pool they have to pick from is literally their gene pool?
They know what they're doing. It's a universal truth that we all have hot cousins. It could be second cousins, third cousins. I don't care. They could be older. They could be named Andy. We don't know. Now, everyone has hot cousins. This show gives people the opportunity to explore that, however that means for them. So they go on to the show knowing that they have a chance to marry one of their cousins.
So you're really taking away the stigma.
I don't know what that word means.
Okay.
So I wouldn't
clearly,
be able to argue
yes.
with you.
Okay. Interesting. Matt?
I'm assuming this isn't set at like a mansion like The Bachelor, but more like a barbecue.
No, it's absolutely a mansion. We use the mansion from The Bachelor, but the one that was damaged in those fires.
No more questions.
Any questions from our pitchers? Pega?
You mentioned a cousin named Andy. I'm wondering if there's like anything autobiographical about this. Like, do you have a cousin named Andy?
I think we all have an Andy in our lives, you know, that you see at Olivia's bat mitzvah and he says, you've blossomed, you know, and you're kind of like, well, what does that mean? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have blossomed. You know, you didn't hit puberty till 11th grade, but it hit, you know, it fucking smacked you. So there's capers everywhere. You're having a good time. She did a great Haftorah and the feelings just flow. So we all have an Andy, if that makes sense. He's universal.
Right. All right, judges, you have a lot to think about, but it is time to weigh in on what you've heard so far. So which of these family-friendly pitchers is not moving on to the next round?
Well, you know, this was a tough one because we are just so disgusted and shocked and bewildered by all of these pitches equally, to be honest. But you know what? We had to single out the one that was so disgusting it might just work. And for us, that's a problem. And that would be, I'm sorry, Roseanne. We just can't, in good conscience, go ahead with a show so vile that also could have talent relations issues. So Matt, good news is you're failing up and joining us at the judges table.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And thank you.
All right. Congratulations, Matt. All right. And now it's time for round two. This time we're going to play a game we like to call Family Friendly. Contestants, the network is excited about bringing some classic film properties to the small screen, but they want to make sure the whole family can watch. So you're going to be given a distinctly adult-themed film, and you have 1 minute to pitch our execs a kid-friendly version. Pega, you're up first. Give us the family-friendly version of Requiem for a Dream.
Oh my God, yes. This is something I loved to watch as a child. So for sure, like I remember all of it and I totally know what it's about. So it's the story of a grandma who decides that she doesn't want to be so fat because being fat is bad. And so she starts taking some no-no pills from her doctor. And then her refrigerator starts attacking her. And her son is putting a no-no pill in his bloodstream. And then at the very end, two girls do something very naughty. They put their butts next to each other. And you should only do that when you're really in love with someone and you're married. The end.
Okay. Judges, what did you think of this new family-friendly version of Requiem for a Dream?
Okay, yeah. I think, you know, obviously saying no-no pills instead of drugs is helpful to make this family-friendly. But, you know, I think what's missing is something that's going to really attract families to watch it versus just make it palatable. So, like, is there some kind of, like, kid-friendly character that we could add?
The refrigerator, for sure, is going to be... I mean, it's a huge merchandising opportunity as well. Slap some googly eyes on it. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. Okay, great. Matt?
Due to multiple court rulings, I am legally a child. And so I was so entertained by this. I'm really excited about
it. It's a kid's story, really.
I'm going to call him Mr. Fridge.
Yeah.
I'm really into
him. You should. And that's
sounds
good.
Fun.
Are you going to ask your mommy and daddy to buy you a Mr. Fridgey toy?
And some no-no pills.
Yeah. See? Do you see?
Yeah, I very much see. And we're going to have a performance review after this. Other Matt, any questions?
I do have a question about this butt-to-butt situation. Mm. I got in trouble in the first grade for playing a game called Bump Butts in my elementary school bathroom, where I would go up to other kids peeing at the urinal and bump my butt against their butt. And I had to write a letter back home to my parents. And in the letter I wrote, I made a bad choices. That's a 100% true story. My question is, was that a sin?
I really appreciate you sharing that with us, and this is a safe space, even though it is being put on the internet for like all future potential employers to hear, for sure. And I just want to say that's something you should ask your pastor, and I think that he or she, but most likely he, will have the answers to guide you back to God.
All right. Thank you, Pega. Moving right along for round two. Rod, give us a family-friendly version of Boogie Nights.
Okay. Boogie Nights is the story of Marky Mark, who really wants to follow his dreams. And his dreams turn out to be found in an industry that makes very, very, very grown-up movies. And he realizes that he can be in it because he has a big hee-hee-wongo. And because of his very large hee-hee-wongo, he is able to become a very, very, very big star. But he has to try not to lose, you know, who he really is and what makes him a special person. Meanwhile, his friend, literally named Roller Girl, and I am not just translating that for a child, that is actually in the film, is looking for a mom figure and finds her in a woman who loves doing cuckoo nunu, which is a really special kind of candy that your parents for sure do. And after a while, everything in their beautiful, beautiful makeshift family begins to absolutely implode. And that's Boogie Nights in a way.
Thank you, Rod. Judges?
As someone who doesn't have kids but thinks about how other people parent their kids a lot and judges them, I feel like this would be a perfect TV adaptation to teach kids about their hee-hee-wongos and cuckoo nunu.
Yeah.
In an entertaining way. That was more of a comment than a question.
Thank you.
Do you see this branching out into maybe some like educational programs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of television shows get turned into animated shows for kids, like the Partridge Family and stuff. So maybe Marky Mark's Hoo-Hoo Wingo becomes its own character in an animated show. We just follow the Hoo-Hoo Wingo as it goes on little adventures. So yeah, an animated spinoff about just like solving mysteries.
Matt or Matt?
I'm really excited for Hee-Hee-Wongo's solo series because many doctors have told me my hee-hee-wongo is a mystery. And it has yet to be solved. It's more of a comment than a question.
Thank you for those.
All right. And now we have one more to go for round two. Julia, give us a kid-friendly version for television of The Human Centipede.
Great. So we're going to call this for kids Shrek 4. And this is a real exciting movie about... What's that? The body. So this is a really exciting film where we get to learn about anatomy, the food chain, the human food chain, humans and chains, and how it all relates back to itself. This is a movie about the environment, about composting, about waste and not wasting, the dangers of going into a stranger's home, the dangers of leaving a stranger's home. And we have put it all together in a very fun song for the kids. Are we ready?
Yes.
Just pull down your pants and get on your knees. Put the ass to the mouth. That's a centipede. Human centipede.
First of all, I don't want to go against Shrek 4 before even it has a chance for other people to see the majesty for themselves. My concern is that, you know, the basic concept of the human centipede is that you're still saying ass to mouth, even in the theme song, and it drums up the question of how else could we like mask or portray the actions of the human centipede without actually saying what it is.
Sure. I'm going to take what you said. I'm going to move on. But I think the word mouth is family friendly and the word ass is friendly. So what we are doing as a woman who is a daughter of a father, I absolutely think ass is friendly. Always stay sweet. Okay.
I can't argue with you there. Matt?
I do have a question about this human centipede scenario. Between the ages of 17 and 23, I was part of a human centipede. I was the back.
That's the best spot, some say.
It wasn't my idea, but sometimes I miss it. Is there room for me in heaven?
Sweet child, what do you think heaven is? Let me tell you, it's the world's longest human centipede, with God in the front and Jeffrey Epstein at the back, and all God's children in the middle. Okay?
All right, thank you very much, Julia. That wraps up round two. All right, judges, now you have a tough decision to make. One more pitcher will be promoted to the executive level, and who is it going to be?
You know, it was really hard to decide, but, you know, in the end, we had to look at these and say, you know, which one is a little bit too good, and that would be the one that has such a strong sponsorship opportunity with No-No Pills, and that would be Pega's pitch.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. I would love to thank Jared Leto and the Sackler family for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for playing, Pega. Now go join the executives. Before we get to round three, it's time for a word from our sponsors. This episode's product was suggested by Gene in Philadelphia.
This episode is sponsored by Nair in pill form. From the makers of Nair Original comes this revolutionary new product that allows you to get rid of unwanted hair as well as the life-providing cilia inside your body that keeps you alive. Do you want to get rid of that hair and have a death wish? Try Nair in pill form today.
We're back. I hope you're ready because now it's time for our family-themed lightning round. Here's how this works. I have a list of show titles that the execs have greenlit sight unseen with no idea what the shows are about. You'll each get five titles to pitch, and then our judges, all four of them, will determine the big winner for this episode, who gets the Polaroid of my estranged uncle. Okay, Rod, you're going to go first. Your first show is Dads.
Dads is a CBS comedy drama about a peeping Tom who scours a local neighborhood and watches DILFs through the window. The entire show is shot through the silhouette of a binocular, and it is a one-hour drama, no commercials.
Okay, Julia, your first show is Middle Children.
Middle Children, it, for me, is a personal story as a middle child of parents myself. So it follows a young girl who maybe hit puberty late, like maybe 11th grade, as she tries to figure out what's like the best way to get attention for herself. Should she join theater? Should she sleep with a lot of people in college and do a blog about it? You know, should she stick a bunch of peanut M&Ms up her nose so that people pay attention?
Okay. Rod, your next show is Manson Family Picnic.
Manson Family Picnic is exactly what it sounds like. It is the meeting of the remaining Manson girls, the living Manson victims, which I'll let you figure out what that means, and Marilyn Manson's entire extended family as they meet for an incredibly awkward and unnecessary meal.
All right, fair enough. Julia, tell us about the show Twice Removed.
Ah, wow. Okay, yeah, this feels like kismet. So this was actually the first title we had for Cuz Huzz. And the idea was everyone has a cousin who's twice removed that's hot. If it's not an Andy, it's a Garrett, you know? Example names. So, you know, everyone is looking for the cousin that's not once removed, that's twice removed from their life. And what they do is they do everything they can, not once but twice, to get them back into their bed. And eventually the finale is a family reunion where everyone has those dumb T-shirts. And that's where they announced that they are engaged, which is engaged if you speak Quebecois.
Thank you, Julia. Okay, Rod, your next show is Step Husband.
Step Husband is a gritty police procedural in which a detective who has experienced a dramatic past event that is uncovered throughout the show makes it their job to become a vigilante and kill every step-husband in the United States one by one.
All right, Julia, yeah. Tell us about the show My Mother, the Dial-Up Modem.
My Mother, the Dial-Up Modem is the story of a middle child who was raised largely by the internet because her mother was off at work as a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So It's a story about a middle child discovering how to raise herself.
Okay, Rod.
Yes.
Your second to last show is Emancipation Station.
Emancipation Station is a spinoff of Step Husbands that follows the victims and the remaining family members of the Step Husbands as they enact their own bit of revenge against the vigilante police officer who killed their stepfather.
Brave to ignore the title.
Julia.
Yes.
Tell us about the reunion murders.
Sure. Emancipation Station is about families of a murdered stepfather in heaven reenacting the world's biggest human centipede. Because that's where we go when we die. We make human centipedes with our families.
Okay, you each have one show left. No pressure. Rod, tell us about Some in the Family.
Some in the Family. It's a one-hour family drama that takes place around the dinner table as the different members of the family quietly and passive-aggressively allude to plot points not actually on camera that the other characters are part of by saying things like, well, some in the family don't like ice cubes in their drink and stuff like that. Not modeled after my mother, I promise.
All right, Julia.
Yes.
Your final show is Grandma's Medicine.
Jennifer Lawrence stars as a grandma with a problem. She's not old enough to be a grandma. So it's really kind of like a Masters of Sex meets Sesame Street, where this grandma has to sell... I meant leads. So she has to find and sell these pills that will age her up, a la Benjamin Button in reverse, which is a person aging normally, which is what we call it, which is what we call life and time. And as she has to figure out pills to age herself up so that she can convincingly one day win another Oscar. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And that was the lightning round. Okay, judges, you have some thoughts about these brand new shows?
Wow, yeah. I mean, a lot of these were just sort of rehashes of previous pitches, which I thought was pretty creative.
Thank you.
Rod, did you, I don't know if you mentioned this, but for Dads, you said it was a one-hour drama.
Yeah.
Who are you seeing to cast in Dads?
Well, we won't really be seeing who the main character, the voyeur, is. That will sort of be the heavy breathing of Neil Patrick Harris, but you won't actually see him on screen. But the Dads will be a steady rotating stream of CBS's troupe of male actors. Ted Danson, the guy from Coach, one of the guys from NCIS. Mm-hmm. And then in another episode, that same guy from NCIS, but playing like a different dad, which is nice for him.
Interesting. Matt?
This is for Julia.
Thank you.
You mentioned Andy.
I don't know who.
And then there was a mention of another character named Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are a lot of people in the room who would be curious to describe, like, what does Garrett look like?
Yeah.
How old is Garrett?
Yeah.
Does he not lock his trunk?
Garrett is appealing in the same way like a redwood is appealing. It's firm. It's been there for a long time.
Mm.
And it's vulnerable to fire.
No more questions.
No more answers.
I have a question for Rod. It's about Some of the Family.
Yeah.
It seems like your mom is a little passive aggressive. I can understand. My mom disowned me and hired an exorcist after I sold myself to that Russian bathhouse. My question is, has she forgiven me in heaven?
All signs point to, yeah. Yeah, you bet.
Is this the bathhouse in the East Village?
No, this one's in Russia.
Okay, never mind.
All right. Now, that means there's only one thing left to do, and that's to crown this episode's winner.
All right. Well, you know, we've had some time to think about it, and while most of the pitches in this show were just horrible, horrible, incest-filled, just cesspools, to be frank, there was a standout in our eyes, and we're going to have to go with the person behind Cuz Huzz, Julia is the winner.
Blessed beyond belief.
So you will be winning this Polaroid of Ned's estranged uncle.
Okay, just to describe this, he looks like Bryan Cranston with his eyes closed, and he is in front of a box of Kix cereal, and I would like to bequeath this to...
Oh, my.
Rod. What?
Oh, my God.
You deserve him.
Thank you so much.
He's in heaven now.
All right. Congratulations, Julia and Rod. That was a very tender moment. Thanks again for tuning into Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and check out new episodes every other Monday. And if you like what you hear, then leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell your friends to check it out. Anything, really. We are so desperately lonely. And if you've got an idea for a bad product we can advertise during our commercial break, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Bad Pitches TV, and we just might pick yours. I'm Ned Airbar. For everyone here at Bad Pitches, see you next time.